Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The Passion of Christ. Controversy. In those days, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, it was the last week of his 3.5 years service here on earth. So when he entered Jerusalem, the headquarters of the Pharisees and scribes and the Sanhedrin and all of these high priests, they stepped up to him. But this time they made it in another way. They sent forward young men, full of ardent fire, and they were not so well known. Not the old Pharisees who had been in quarrel with Jesus very often. They sent new people, young people. And they came to Jesus and said, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God justly." All of these sentences, if they are meant in an earnest way, are correct. And now the question, is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? That's the question. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Tell us. Now, this is the most delicate question Jesus ever had to answer. Because at this point, they try that he falls into the trap. If he says, "Yes, we should pay to the Romans," the people will say, "This can't be the Messiah. The Messiah will throw out the Romans. How can he say we should pay to the Romans? Oh no, he is a false Messiah." One point. If Jesus says, "No, we shouldn't pay tribute to Caesar," these Pharisees would be the first one to be in the palace of Pilate telling him, there is one telling people not to pay tribute to Caesar. And this is something the Romans hear very exactly. They do not like this at all. All, because Romans conquer countries to get money out of it. And if there is a movement of anyone telling the people, "Do not pay anymore for the Romans," that's the main reason why the Romans are there, to get money out of it. Now, what to do here? Normally, when I'm in a situation when somebody asks me a difficult question and I think it over, the best answer I discover, the best answer I usually find in my brain afterwards, but not in this very moment. The difficulty is to have a wise answer. Just a moment. This is difficult. Now, what to do? Jesus asked for a coin. In those days, emperors used to show their head, their face, on a coin, so that everybody knew, that's our big boss, our emperor. So Jesus wanted to have such a coin. He hadn't one with him. He was without coins, that's for sure. So he needed one. They had one. Then he showed them the coin. What image can we see here? The one of Caesar. So give him what belongs to him. So he turns to this side and give God what belongs to him. That this was the balance. Give to the emperor and give to God and keep it in balance. Now this answer surprised these scribes and Pharisees to the utmost. They were so surprised, they just kept silent. They didn't know what to say afterwards. So the Sadducees stepped up. The Sanhedrin, the 70 people who made the government, they had two parties, Sadducees, Pharisees. Out of the Sadducees, normally the high priest came up. The Sadducees were the richer ones, the nobler ones. Less in number, but more in money. These Sadducees lived according to their income, a lifestyle full of luxury. So life is for enjoying life. Now, when they read something in the Bible about angels, they said, angels? Have you ever seen an angel? Are you heaven? Therefore, that's why they don't exist. When you do not have experienced what is written here, then it doesn't exist. Resurrection? Have you ever seen a dead one coming out of the grave? No. Therefore, can't be. So that was their philosophy. Only what we experience with our senses. This is very stupid, short-sighted. But that was their way of thinking. Now, no resurrection, they taught. And now they came to Jesus and said, well, there was a woman, she was married, and her husband died. No children. And the law said, well, then the brother of the one who died should go to his sister-in-law so that children should come out of this combination, so that the brother who had died is not without children for the future. Second marriage, no children, man dies. So the next brother, third marriage, no children, he dies. And that goes on, goes on, goes on, goes on. Seven brothers, the end, all seven die, no children. But the point is, they ask Jesus, now there was one woman, you see, and seven men. And these seven men were all married to this one woman. Now in the resurrection, how will that work? Whose wife is she then? Is she the wife of number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Or is she the wife of 7? How does that work? We want to know. Question is interesting. What will Jesus say now? What does he answer? Difficult, isn't it? But Jesus says, well, he comes from outside. He comes from heaven. He knows what's going on there. And he says, here on earth, people are married and die. On the new earth, it will be different. People will not die. They cannot die. So it's not important to produce offspring, as here, because people die. If they have no offspring, there won't be any human beings in future. But there, no dying, no offspring, no marriage at all. They are not married there. It's different. But what are they? They are then, in the resurrection, like angels. Ah, that's something. This is an explanation. We are like angels, yes, Jesus says. We are able to cross the universe, from one star to the other, from one galaxy to the other, quicker than the light. And the light is quick. Very, very quick. It's the quickest we know. But we are quicker than. We are like angels. We will not die. We won't experience any pain. We will experience joy, deep joy. And in this being, like an angel with a new body, we can cross the universe from galaxy to galaxy, from one star to the other, from one planet to the next one. This is what new life is. It's completely different to the living here. They listen. And Jesus says, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. He wants us to live and to live forever. And when he returns, he will show us his universe. He will show us the center around which all the galaxies go in a circle. Ah, this will be a time going there, seeing all this glory. Now have a look at this painting here. When we go back in the history of Israel, there we have a person named Abraham. He has got a son, Isaac. And he got twins. Esau and Jacob. And this Jacob has to run away because his brother is after him. He has betrayed him. And on the first night on his flight, in the evening, night comes, he is full of fear. What will happen? It's dark, You don't see anything around you. You're tired. You're going to sleep. Is there an enemy around? Has somebody followed me? Does he wait till I sleep and then, when I'm helpless? Oh, he's full of fear. He's afraid of the future. He's only a stick in his hand. Now what? And then, in this night, he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder. Foot on earth, top in heaven. And the angels of God, they go up and down, up and down, up and down. He's surprised. There's a connection between heaven and earth. And angels go up and down this ladder. We see here Jacob dreaming at the bottom of the painting, and the angels going up and down, going up and down. And he's so surprised. And this scene, Jesus thinks about in the beginning of his service, on the first day when he gathered together his first disciples. And Philippus called Nathanael. And Nathanael, when he appeared, Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael is surprised. He looked around before that for a hidden place, a secret place, where he could be alone to pray. And it was a very special place. No one knew about it. And there he prayed. And Jesus said, I've seen you there. And he couldn't have seen him there. It was somewhere else. So when Jesus said that, I saw you under the fig tree, Nathanael said, you are the Messiah. And then Jesus answered, you believe because I told you that I've seen you. You will see more than that. You will see the angels of God coming up and down, on the head of me. He will see there's a connection between heaven and earth. And they just listened. And now, nowadays we know it's true. Jesus is the mediator. And when he has gone back, he is still a mediator between heaven and earth. Without him, no connection. So it's important to get a good grip on his hand, to be connected with Jesus in love, that we are united with heaven.